Today's scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hi, First Press. It's good to see all of you. I just got to say at the outset here that this is kind of a weird day. It feels so weird to know that this will be the last worship service that I have with you. Although I knew for months that this day could be coming, it seems like it's come quickly and I'm not sure I'm ready for it. It's also weird because I'm saying goodbye to you from the comfort of my basement instead of in the sanctuary. I would love to be able to be with you in person, obviously, to give you hugs and to say goodbye, but this is the world we live in right now. And then to top it off, we have this weird weather today. I'm looking outside, it's cloudy, it's been thunder and lightning, just a lot of weird things. I feel like I'm back in New Jersey. As most of you know, I've been on vacation for the last couple of weeks in Montana, had a great vacation with family, extended family, as well as my own family. Lots of fun, lots of good food, lots of beautiful sunsets. So it's been a great vacation. I decided for the next chapter of my life, I'm going to work for the Montana Board of Tourism, promoting Montana. It's just such a great place. So it was a great vacation, but also mixed in some ways because in the back of my mind, I knew I was going to have to come back and say goodbye to you and to preach this final sermon. And I knew that that was going to be hard. If I get emotional today, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to stay calm, but if I do, please be patient with me. I've been thinking a lot about what I was going to say to you, and it was hard to land on something. As you probably can guess, I've run the gamut of emotions this last couple weeks and had about three or four sermons rolling around in my head and couldn't really land on one. So I'm just going to preach all four of them today. So sit back and relax. It's going to take some time. Now, I've come up with a few things I want to tell you on this last day. And this is more of a sharing from the heart today instead of a teaching sermon so much. But I think that's appropriate. So here are the things I've landed on that I definitely want to say to you. First of all, I want to say thank you. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians in the first chapter, writes this. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now." And these words express my heart so well, so I'm going to steal them from Paul. I do pray with joy and gratitude when I pray for you. You know, it's been a fairly intense 3 years. I look back on these 3 years and it's almost like a blur. It's been a good 3 years, but also pretty intense. Lots was packed into 38 months. We accomplished a lot. Progress was made on a lot of fronts, but really what I love most about ministry is not so much the things that are accomplished as much as the relationships that are made and built. And it's not so much the destination where I get a lot of my joy, as it is the journey and sharing life with people as we work toward a goal together. And I have to tell you, I have enjoyed this so much. I've enjoyed getting to know you as we've worked together in our partnership with the gospel. It's been fun working on projects together. I think of the dream team coming up with our new identity statements. What a great group of people that was. The Sanctuary Renewal Project, working through with Session, the gender, sexuality, marriage, and leadership issues. Even in 4-hour session meetings, as we grappled with some hard issues, I experienced your partnership in the gospel and witnessed your love for Christ, for this church, and for each other. I've loved working with the personnel committee as we work on so many issues together tirelessly. John Barthel, the chair of the elder for personnel, I just got to tell you, when he goes off session, you should have a day of celebration for him too. He's just worked so hard. The stewardship committee with Paul Davis, a wonderful group to work with, and it was really fun to get, of course, the big $5 million gift to really cut our budget and set you up for the next chapter. Just some of the finest elders I've ever worked with. And of course, I have to say, I've grown to so much love this staff who are really sacrificial in their service to you and the church and committed to the ministry of this church and are always striving for excellence. And I just love them to death. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me and my family into your lives. Thanks for loving us. I have really enjoyed you and loved you, and I'm thankful truly that I got to spend these 3+ years with you. I will always remember you with joy and gratitude as I pray for you. Secondly, I want to encourage you with a promise that follows right on the heels of these verses in Philippians. Right after the verses I just read to you, Paul writes this. He said, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it, carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And of course, this is one of the great promises of the gospel. I love it. God is going to complete the work that he has begun in us. In other words, God has worked in our past, God is working in our future, and God will continue, or in the present, and God will continue his work in the future. God doesn't quit. He's like a bulldog. Once he grabs a hold of our lives, he just holds on to us, and he finishes what he starts. And God will complete the work in us that he has begun. You know, often we think of these verses as they apply to our individual lives, and they absolutely do. But Paul is writing this to the church. So really the correct translation is God will complete the work that he has begun in y'all, in the church. And the Philippian church has hit a little hard spot. They need encouragement. And Paul says, hey, God is still working and God will continue to work. You can be sure of that. So I want to give you this encouragement, First Press. God has you. And God will not let go. God will continue to work. God will finish the work that he has begun in you. So that being said, God will work. But much of what happens in this next chapter will depend on you pulling together as a team. And I really want you to hear this. It's the third thing I want to say to you. Ministry, church, is a team sport. Now, I'm sure the next pastor who is coming to you is an amazing person and pastor. But she, and I'm just using the female pronoun here to make it simple, is just a person. She's not Jesus. We have exchanged a couple of emails together, and we'll talk soon. But what can I what I can see from our conversations is that she is a great person with many, many gifts. And I'm excited for you to come under her leadership. But this next chapter is not so much about what she does or how she does, but really about how you do as a team. She is just one member of the team. Perhaps my favorite passage on the church is the one that Vent read so beautifully just a few minutes ago, Ephesians 4. It gives us God's vision for the church. And as you know, I love the church. I love God's vision for the church. And in this passage, Paul uses the metaphor of a body with many members, many, many members who are all gifted. Christ gives the gifts. Christ empowers us through the Holy Spirit to use our gifts. Christ calls us to use our gifts. And when we all use our gifts together, when we all move together toward a goal, which is becoming mature, getting healthy, growing in our love for each other, being all the church was meant to be. Wow, that's the vision of the church. All of us working together, we're in this together, using our gifts, pulling together toward one goal. I think I've shared this before, but one of my favorite pictures of the church is an outrigger canoe. You know, a few years ago, I went to preach at Tim Shaw's ordination service. And the day before the service, a number of us went to Waikiki and rode an outrigger canoe. And as we were doing that together, learning how to row together, to put our oars in the water at the same time and pulling together, I just thought, this is the church. All of us putting our oars in the water, pulling at the same time, moving toward one goal. And how fun to catch that wave together. Here's the point. It's amazing what a group of people can accomplish when they are pulling together in the same direction, working as a team. You know, these last few weeks, I've received some really nice notes. And I really appreciate them. And I want you to know I'm grateful for them and I'm working on responding to every one of them, but it's going to take some time. But here's one of the themes that I saw in these notes. People said, Steve, it is amazing what you have accomplished in these 3 years. And of course, that's nice to hear. Everyone likes to be affirmed. And if you haven't written a note yet, you can write that and I'll take it. But here's what I want to say. And what I truly believe, it was not me who has done tremendous things. It is Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, who has built up his church. Now, he has given me gifts and he has given me the power to lead, but it is Christ who does the work. And more importantly, it has been Christ working through a ton of you. What has happened here the last 3 years, it's been a team effort. There's no doubt. And like I said many times before, one of the great joys that I have as a pastor is to see the church work as a team. Lots of people, everyone using their gifts and pulling together to make the church grow in every way, in love, in quantity, in quality, to become more healthy, but to accomplish the mission that God has given us. Now listen, here's what I really want you to hear today. What is very important as you enter into this new exciting chapter in the life of First Press is that you work together, pull together and work as a team. It will be a team effort. The new pastor, just one among many, just one member of the team. And it's not so much about how she's going to do, but about how you're going to do. You're all going to have to put your oars in the water and pull together. I say this because I want to see the church thrive. We have made great progress these 3 years in living out God's vision for the church. And I don't want you to go backwards. I want you to go forwards. But let me tell you, as one speaking from experience and a pretty fresh experience your new pastor, as gifted and capable and talented as she is walking into a complex church in a very complex time. She is going to need your encouragement and your support, your patience, as she learns the ropes of this crazy place. She is going to need you to put your oars in the water. And I say this because I love pastors. I don't want to see any pastor struggle. I want to see her thrive. I want to see her enjoy her ministry. And a lot of that has to do with you supporting her and encouraging her. You know, Peter Drucker, who was a great management consultant, leadership consultant, said there are the three hardest jobs in America are these. One, to be CEO of a large hospital. Two, to be a college or university president. And three, to be the senior pastor of head of staff of a large multiple staff church. It's a tough job. And right now it's even more difficult than it ever has been. I've been in ministry a long time. It's a tough time to be a pastor. So support this new pastor, encourage her, put your oars in the water. And I would say one of the couple ways you can do this, two things. One is continue your giving. Worst thing that could happen for her is for this new, or is for the budget to go down, for the giving to go down. In fact, I would love for her not to experience a December drama. You know, this is a small elite group who has experienced being a pastor of this church during December drama. Mark Laberton, Tim Shaw, Ian Noyes, Mark Stryker, when he was the interim between Ian leaving and me coming, and then me. This is an elite club, and we don't want to let anybody else in. So it's kind of like living president. So avoid the December drama and help her to be able to focus on all the other things that she needs to focus on. And then I also would say one of the ways you can put your oar in the water is to encourage her, to write notes, to affirm her, to build her up, to let her know when she does something good. Encourage this new pastor. Okay, in closing, I want to give you three Greek words that I hope characterizes your life together as you enter into this next chapter. Now, you knew I would have to pull in one more story about my Greek heritage, right? So here it is. I want you to remember these three words. These Greek words, I got to tell you, are not words that I learned in seminary. These are modern Greek words that my mom and my yaya, my grandmother, taught me. Pastor Tom, even with his PhD in New Testament, probably doesn't know two of these three words. So here they are. The first word is tipota. Tipota means no problem. It's nothing. Someone thanks you for doing something or apologizes to you for something small, maybe. You know what you do? You go, oh, tipota, no big deal. It's okay. I think tipota means you let the small things just kind of run off your back. You don't get hung up on the small things. Maybe the word forbearance kind of works as a meaning of tipota. I think tipota conveys a generosity of spirit, a graciousness. First press, I pray that there's a lot of tipota in this next chapter for you. You know, a couple of weeks ago in my sermon, I mentioned that I talked to Vivian McElraith, who is one of the great saints of our church. And here's what she said in our conversation. She said, Steve, I hope our church can be very gracious in this next chapter. Gracious to each other, because we're family. I want you to remember those words. These are words from a very wise woman, tipota. First press, don't sweat the small stuff. Focus on the big stuff. Second word is this. Yasu. You may be familiar with these words. If you've ever seen a Greek movie, you'll see it in that movie. Greeks say this all the time. They use it when they pour ouzo and they clink their glasses. Yasu! So it definitely is a lot like our cheers, but it seems to go beyond that. They use it in so many different ways. I once asked my mom what it meant, and she said, Steve, it can mean whatever you want it to mean. So yasu. But let me give you a couple pictures of how I saw this word used when I was in Greece. When I was on my bike trip that I've shared about before, this year-long bike trip through Europe and the Middle East, one of my favorite parts of the trip was riding around the island of Crete, which is, I think, the largest island of the Greek islands. And at one point, my friend and I, who joined me for that part of the trip, we were climbing a very steep mountain, fully loaded, 60 pounds of gear, you know, our tents, our cooking gear, our clothes, you know, the whole thing, front and back panniers, straining to climb this mountain. And a goat herder was standing next to the road. And as we went by, he yelled out, Yasu! Yasu, that's what it means. The road was washed out later on by a creek at one point, and we had to get to the other side. So we lifted our bikes over our heads with all the gear on it. And again, a man was standing next to the creek and he yelled, Yasu! And then finally, when we pulled into a little village after a long day of riding uphill, we had dinner at a little taverna, the only taverna in the village. And there were two Greeks who had already drank a little too much ouzo, who started dancing on the tables and throwing plates. And what were they yelling? They were yelling, Yasu. You know, interesting part of that story is they wanted to butt heads with us to see who were tougher, Greeks or Americans. And fortunately, I was able to talk them into arm wrestling instead. And I have to say, we won. So, but here's how I translate Yasu. It means go for it. It means seize the day, celebrate life, take some risks, even if it means failure. First Press, I hope that there's a lot of yasus in the next chapter of life together for you. Go for it. You know, dance on tables a little bit, celebrate together, go for it. Even if you fail a little bit, that's part of yasu. And last word is this, and this is also a New Testament word. It's efcharisto. You need to know this if you ever go to Greece. Efcharisto means thank you. So when your server brings you a meal, you say efcharisto. And if you want to say thank you very much, you add on parapoli. Efcharisto parapoli. This is where we get our word for communion. Eucharist. Eucharisto. Efcharisto. Thanksgiving, gratitude. And there's a root in this word, charis, which means grace. You know, the root for grace, gratitude, and joy is this word, charis. I have to say this again. Gratitude is the heart of the Christian faith. Regardless of how difficult our circumstances in life, we always, 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 always have so much for which to be grateful. First Press, may your life together in this next chapter, may it be characterized by gratitude, full of gratitude, because gratitude puts everything in perspective. You know, it's hard to be cranky when you're grateful. It's hard not to have joy when you're grateful. It's hard not to be content when you focus on what you have rather than on what you don't have. Eucharisto, efcharisto. So three words, tipota, don't sweat the small stuff. Yasu, go for it. Efcaristo, Eucharisto. Be grateful. First Press, may your life together be full of these three things. And may God bless you richly. I'll be rooting for you. And I miss you. And I love you. Amen. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for this great church. I thank you for these 3 years that we've had together. Wow, I think of the memories for the difficult things that we worked through together, for the fun things that we enjoyed together, for the victories that were celebrated, for the progress we've made. I thank you that you have continued to work in us and that you'll continue to work in this church. Lord, I pray for your richest blessing upon them. I pray that they would experience a great joy as they work together toward being fulfilling the vision that you have for the church. I pray that they would grow in their love for each other, that it would be a love that really gives them life. I pray that you would help them as they reach out to the community in sacrificial ways in this next chapter, what could be a very difficult time for our country. I pray that they would be a shining light, that the reputation for First Press in Berkeley and Oakland and the First Bay or the East Bay would be that of a church who is sacrificially giving to the community for the lost and the least and the lost and the last. Lord, that you would give them a great heart for them and use them to be your salt and light in the world. Lord, I am just so grateful for them, for this time together, for the love that we've shared, the joy that we've shared. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.